Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
By the way, while we're doing traffic there, we voted 3-0 was the vote not to extend the show today. But we will go 4 hours.
Yeah, we had to go
football.
Behind closed doors to get that vote.
We had to go behind closed doors to get that vote. Ben Lieber joins us, Westwood One analyst. Former Charger, remember Ben, Kansas State guy and playing here in San Diego. Ben, welcome to the program. How are things today?
Things are good. Chris and Tony, it's good to be on with you guys. And if I may, I will make it 4-0 for my vote. I think you guys have worked way too hard, and nobody needs to be on the radio for 4 hours.
Well, we are every day, but more than 4 hours would definitely be pushing it for sure. Ben, tell us a little bit about what you experienced Saturday night in Green Bay. I think it for both sides, I think it's something that most of us in San Diego were happy we didn't have to experience. But at the same time, I think it would also be something once in a lifetime you'd like to be in a snow in Green Bay and Lambeau Field, especially for such a great game like that.
Well, let me give you some more context to that, because I live in the Twin Cities. So I made the drive from cold, snowy Lambeau Field all the way back home to Minneapolis. And, you know, it's 12 below zero right now. So, So I didn't get any relief from the cold. But listen, guys, you do have to experience something like that. And I don't care if you have a dog in the fight or not. Get your butts off the beach in January.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's going to happen for a while now since Rodgers is not there. But, you know, go to a late game in Lambeau Field. It's there's just nothing like it. I mean, they've done a phenomenal job with that stadium. It's a beautiful stadium. The crowd is just so nice. It is a lot like going to Kansas City, which I'm sure people around there have experienced before, but it's a lot like Kansas City. The tailgating is incredible. The fans are incredible. They play awesome music in between snaps and during the breaks. It's just a lively deal. And then, you know, you have to experience the cold, the overalls, the camouflage. You got to stop at Fleet Farm and get all decked out with all of your cold weather gear. And if you're lucky enough to have the snow like it came down the other night, it really is just a spectacular football experience.
Well, I concur. I haven't been there in the snow, but I got a chance to watch a Cowboy-Packer game at Lambeau, and it was one of the best experiences I ever had watching a football game. I want to ask you a little bit, though, Ben, about what the Niners did that seemed to keep Aaron Rodgers under wrap. He got out like gangbusters. They go right down the field. They seem like they're about to score again before the fumble. But from that point on, the Niners' D was unbelievable against Aaron Rodgers. What did you see that they did to, I don't know, confuse or just keep Aaron Rodgers at bay?
You know, it was subtle. And I can't tell you for 100% certainty, but this is just kind of what I saw compared to the Week 3 game. They did a little bit more in the second half of the Week 3 game. But, you know, Devontae Adams just torched them in that first game. And they were just... they were on point when it comes to their nonverbal communication and their pre-snap reads. And they would see the corners being pressed up, and they'd look at each other, do a little hand signal, and all of a sudden they'd, you know, throw a back shoulder or, you know, some sort of comeback. And then they'd be off coverage, and then they'd do a little hand signal, and all of a sudden it's a 50-50 ball, and he goes up and gets it. I think what they came into this game and they did a much better job of is they were disguising, but in subtle ways. Mm. The corners on both sides would either be up at press. And then I don't know if you guys noticed there are times where Rodgers, because of the cold, he'd keep his hands in his pockets as long as he could because he wants to survey the field as long as he can. So he's going to run down that play clock, and he wants you to get antsy as a defense. And so they're really patient. They would just kind of wait. They'd be at the line, and then all of a sudden they'd start backpedaling, and then they'd play off. And all of a sudden now everything that he thought they were not doing. Mm. And then vice versa. They'd start off, and then they'd slowly creep back up to the line of scrimmage. And so they had this yo-yo effect with their corners in which I think they timed it up perfectly, and they were patient enough to just wait, and they couldn't get any of their pre-snap reads down. And I think it just took his processing away. He didn't have those quick throws. He didn't have those back shoulder 50-50 balls. And outside of that, because of Valdez-Scantling not being in the game, they'd had nobody take them over the top. And so they kind of just took away, you know, what they do best.
Ben Lieber is with us, former linebacker with the Chargers, now working for Westwood One, analyst, and giving us a little rundown on that San Francisco-Green Bay game. I don't know what sideline you were on, Ben, but I imagine if you were on the 49ers sideline, there had to be two or three moments of extreme concern during that game the other night. Every time Jimmy Garoppolo floated a slow, soft, off-his-back-foot pass out into the flat and was able to survive it. Jimmy Garoppolo's performance Saturday night, what did you think?
You know, mixed bag. Certainly his receivers did not help him out. Look, you know, Kittle dropped one.
Yeah.
Seam ball over the middle that hit him right in the hands, which was right in the chest. It's not like he'd extend. It was not a tough catch, and I think the cold had a lot to do with it. But I really think that he had one guy to beat before. That's a huge chunk yardage, if not a touchdown. So that took some hidden yards off the board. And then I think it was a play or two later, Jennings snaps his head around in a very similar location. And that one's the timing was a little bit off. It was a tough catch. He'd had to turn around and just like really expect the ball to be there. But that one clanks off his hands too. You know, it's a couple throws that I don't think his receivers really helped him out. You know, he didn't play great, but look, you know, Aaron Rodgers, possibly the MVP of the league. He didn't play great either. Yeah. I just think it's so hard to play in those conditions, especially I think everybody heard the narrative that it's the coldest game that Garoppolo has ever played in as an NFL player. And you can't prepare for it. You know, Shanahan talked about it all week. He's like, look, it's a mindset. We're going to try to get these guys ready. But until you pick up a football, you know, in 5-degree weather or whatever it was, and the snow's falling, like you can't replicate that no matter where you are.
Did it surprise you, Ben? By the way, Ben joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Did it surprise you that the Packers defense was able to really, for the most part, stop the running game of the 49ers? Because going into that game, that was the way you thought they could beat the Packers. Run the football, wear them down over time. But it really didn't boil down to that. It boiled down to special teams.
Yeah, you know, it didn't really surprise me. Again, I know that there's so many weeks between the Week 3 game and this last divisional playoff game. But you go back to that first game, and even without Za'Darius Smith, they did a great job, the Packers defense, of shutting down the perimeter runs. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that on the edges, they have proven to be pretty stout. And then because of my experience in the NFC North, I see a lot of, you know, Tyler Lancaster and Kenny Clark, and I'm like, okay, if those guys can win on the inside, well, I'm pretty confident that they can stop the run. Now, that was also a time where they weren't using Debo the way they used Debo.
Right.
And Mitchell wasn't playing. So you have those factors as well. But as far as a physicality standpoint, I knew that they could make some plays. And that's kind of what happened. You know, I think they met force with force. They were able to do that. But again, like you said, it comes down to three phases. And, you know, you get two bad special teams units kind of locking horns. And, you know, for the 49ers, they came out on top. They made more plays in the special teams game, which was surprising. You know, I just, you know, think that having the home field advantage, I think, gives you some of those advantages. But, you know, you got to have all three phases play, and who knew that it was going to come down to special teams.
Ben, to block a punt like that late in a football game and only rush five or six guys, like, doesn't there have to be a total breakdown? Because it wasn't like they went with the full on-out blitz on that block punt, and I just thought, how could Green Bay let that happen? We know they're bad, but that's really unforgivable.
You know what's interesting about that? So I, because of the that to me, obviously was the play of the game. I mean, they score touchdown on that and completely swing the momentum. You know, working with Westwood One, I said to my producer, I said, "Hey, what do you think about having Jordan Willis, the guy that blocked the punt, as our post game interview?" He's like, "I love it. Let's do that." And so in the post game interview, you know, I asked him about that play, and he goes, "Well, you know, the funny thing is, I'm not even on punt block. I'm not on punt return." Huh. And the coach came up to me on the sideline and he said, "Hey, Jordan, you think you can block the punt?" And I said, "Yeah, I can do that." And he said it so casually. He's like, "Yeah, I can do that." Hmm. And he goes out and blocks the punt. So obviously the follow-up question was like, "Well, what gave him the confidence to ask you if you could block the punt? And why do you feel so confident about doing that?" And he goes, "Well, he's like, I know that I have a good get off and I know that I have long arms and I've done it before in practice and he's seen me. And so even though I'm not a starter on the unit, he knew that I was capable of doing it as long as I got a good get off. And so that sucker just walks off the bench and just like, yeah, I'm going to go block this punt. And he blocks the punt and basically wins the game. It's like the way he was describing it was so cavalier and so casual. I'm like, what? Like that doesn't just happen. You can't just like, yeah, coach, I'm just going to go out and block the punt. Well, he did. And he won the game for him.
Ben, let me ask you, because on the telecast, I can't remember if it was Joe Buck or Troy Aikman said, you know, that Kyle Shanahan had mentioned that they felt like they had an advantage with special teams, even though, as you said, both of their special teams were not very good during the year. Kyle Shanahan made a point to mention that. Is that something that they identify in film sessions, where the guy in the middle has a hard time dealing with guys with long arms, and they can maybe expose that?
Yeah, and it sounds like that's exactly what happened. You know, I was just, you know, scrolling social media, as we kind of all were this whole weekend, and I saw somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody that has something to do with special teams, former player that played, and he said that, you know, that long snapper has been lazy with his hands and his sets, and it shows on tape. And so it, you know, reared its ugly head in the biggest moment where, you know, he snaps the ball and he just wasn't, you know, didn't anchor down and just wasn't ready for Willis to come and long arm him and bull rush him right up the middle. And so that to me is just, it's good scouting. It's kind of common sense scouting. You know how it is. You're always trying to find the weak link in any game. It doesn't matter what sport you're playing. You're like, well, where's the weak link? Let's try to expose that. And obviously they found that with their center.
Ben, great stuff on the block punt. See, there's something I don't think any of us knew, that he had just come right off the bench to block that kick. So I'm glad we were able to learn that. As a guy who played defense in the NFL, what are you thinking when you're watching Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes shred defenses the way they did yesterday in that game?
I felt for those guys. Especially, you know, I was actually texting with my aunt who lives in Buffalo and is a huge fan, and I just said to her, I said, you can't in this moment, you can't let Tyreek beat you. And you know, when he catches that ball over the middle, I mean, what do? You're helpless. You know, nobody can take an angle and try to get the guy. The guy is phenomenal with his speed, and you know, you could tell those guys were tired, they were gassed. Now you could say the same thing about Kansas City's offense. You know, look, those guys are tired from running routes and all that stuff. But, you know, as a defensive player, it annoys me when in those pressure moments that it seems so vanilla and it seems so predictable. And look, I played for Leslie Frazier, defensive coordinator for the Bills. And I'm not saying this happened, but In my experience, we get into some pressure situations at the end of games, and he does not want to get aggressive. He wants to just fall back on playing cover two. And every team knew that. You know, we had a game in Chicago where on the field we were having a quick debate about whether or not we play cover two, because we knew that we were being predictable. And I had to talk some of the defensive backs about going rogue, because I was calling the plays, and they're like, "We're not playing cover two." And I'm like, "We got to play cover two. Like, we, you know, offense is lining up. Like, we got to go." And they're like, "No, we're not. We got to play something else." And so we have like a little bit of a fight and a debate on the field in a pressure situation, because he just wants to rely on just what he knows. And cover two is very safe, but cover two has a lot of holes and exploits you. And that's exactly what Kelce did. They knew that they're going to be in cover two. He nods the backside corner and hits the seam ball because the Mike linebacker has to honor the number three receiver on the other side. And so by alignment, by formation, they basically created a void for Kelce to run into. It's like, as a defensive player, like, I could see that coming. And I'm not even an offensive coordinator, you know? So, I don't know. I feel bad for those guys.
Ben, that was really great stuff, man. Really enjoyed it. I felt like I learned a lot about those games. And I watched them all, and I thought I was aware of everything that was going on. But right. I truly wasn't. Thanks for the visit. Good to catch up with you. And thanks for all your insight. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, my pleasure. Always enjoy. I even like to hear you guys' traffic reports because I miss living in San Diego. So it's like a chance for me to, like, you know, think about being in San Diego and being in the warm weather.
A little old home week for you.
Well, make sure you stay warm out there.
Yeah.
I'll try.
All right,
I'll try. Bourbon helps.
Thanks, Ben. It does. Appreciate it. Ben Lieber right there, former Charger linebacker.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.